Does it ever amaze you that He loves you still? Maybe I could understand why He would love me when I was a cute little baby. But how He could still love me now, it's amazing to me. Amen? Brother Casey had an announcement to make, and I forgot all about it. But, they're going to start the Biggest Loser back up when? When, Casey? January the 2nd on a Monday. So he'll be telling you more about that, okay? Take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter number 2. I enjoyed that singing tonight, by the way. And it sure was a blessing to my heart, every song. Amen? Colossians chapter number 2. We're going to look, keep your Bibles out. I'm going to look at about 6 verses of Scripture tonight. And we'll be dismissed. I've been in church. I'm 47 years old. We started going to church faithfully when I was 4, I believe, if that's right, Mother. Isn't that correct? 4 years old. And I've been in church ever since. Just about, maybe a little hit and miss here and there, maybe some in my teenage years where I wasn't real faithful. But pretty much, Brother Robbie, 40 years I've been in church. I hadn't been saved 40 years. I got saved when I was 19. But 40 years, I've been around the people of God, and I've been around the things of God. I've seen a lot. Most of what I've seen in my lifetime has been in church. I've seen some good things. I've seen some bad things. Some of the worst things I've ever seen, I saw in church. Believe it or not, you shouldn't have bad memories from church, should you? Come on, y'all help me. We shouldn't have bad memories from church, but we do. We do. That's called, you know why? Because it's got people in it. Yeah. Amen. People are going to do stupid stuff and make bad decisions. But I've seen a lot over the 40 years. Brother Atkins, I can't imagine what all your eyes have seen in all those years of pastoring. And boy, I'm telling you, it's amazing. You come to these places, and I know Brother Atkins, Brother Charles, they'll understand what I'm about to say. You'll think you've seen about everything. And then all of a sudden, what in the world? Then you say, I thought I'd seen everything. Amen? But I want to talk to you about something that I have observed. If any one thing stands out in my mind over these 40 years of being in church, is how people change. That's been heavy on my mind for months. I'm talking about from the pulpit to the back pew. There are preachers that I grew up around that don't even preach the King James Bible anymore. There are preachers that I grew up with that don't even use the hymn book anymore. There are preachers that I have preached with around the country that no longer even have a pulpit. No longer wear a shirt and tie, but a golf shirt. And y'all listen to me tonight. I've noticed how people change, but I'm not just talking about the change in the way of worship, but I'm talking about change in attitude. Amen. I'm talking about the rotating door in the church house. I'm talking about how it seems like we got 2 going out the back and 1 coming in the front all the time. Amen. I made the statement a while back. If we had everybody that this church has reached in the 18 years that I have been here, Walmart would not hold us. If we had everybody who has came and joined the church and said, this is the greatest church in the world, I'll never leave no matter what, Walmart wouldn't hold us. Are y'all okay? In other words, what I'm trying to say is over these 40 years is what I've noticed, and I tried to even Google it and think of a better word, but what I've observed in my Christian life or in my life growing up around Christians is wishy-washiness. Is that a word? In one day, out the next, on one day, off the next. And I couldn't figure out why, and finally it dawned on me. That's people. People are just that way. Hey, I've been here all along, but I've got my on days and my off days. I got my up days and my down days. How about you? Amen. Come on, talk to me. I love to be around older Christians. I used to be so excited when somebody would call me to preach a meeting and I'd say, who else are you having in? And they'd say, Earl Hughes. And I'd get so thrilled that I was going to get to go hang out with that old man of God. Amen. And just sit and listen to him. I love to be around men like that. I love to be around Brother Edgar Thomas. Not Brother Edgar, he's in heaven. Brother Willard. Love to be around Brother Willard and some of these great old men of God that are still living. Love to be around Brother Charles Williams. And you know what it is I love about these men? They're the same today as they were the day I met them. They have not changed. Society hadn't changed them. Pressure has not changed them. Money has not changed them. They're still preaching the same old gospel that they were way back yonder when I was a little four-year-old boy. Nothing's changed, and I admire that greatly. Amen. There is a word in the Bible I want to use tonight, and we're going to look at it about five or six times, and it's the word steadfast. Anybody ever read that word steadfast? You know what we need in our lives as Christians? We need some steadfastness. Listen, I looked up that, I know Brother Charles was making fun of the guy preaching from an iPad the other day, but I'm not preaching from my iPhone. I'm giving you a definition, okay? Amen. Man, I'm working on a message. There's an app for that. Amen. Amen. Hey, when I got ordained, they gave me a Bible at my ordination. You know what it was called? The Life Application Bible. There's an app. Amen. Listen, steadfast. Let me just read this. Fixed in direction. Are you fixed in your direction? Steadily directed. Firm in purpose. Resolute, I like this, in faith. Unwavering. Adherence, firmly established as an institution or state of affairs. Firmly fixed in place or position. That's what it means to be steadfast. In other words, to put it in good old Paulding County language, stuck in there like a hare in a biscuit. Amen. Y'all understand that, right? Amen. Why don't you look at Colossians chapter number 2. I want to show you some areas where we need to work on being steadfast, unshakable, unmoving, always abounding. We'll read that scripture too. But I want you to look at Colossians chapter 2 and look with me at verse number 5. Paul said to these folks, he said, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your what? Faith in Christ." Let me say first of all tonight, we ought to work on being steadfast in our faith. Y'all talk to me now. I preached 2 hours. Y'all heard that if you didn't hear nothing else, didn't you? I said we ought to be steadfast in our faith. Have you ever had your faith shaken? Come on, talk to me. Have you ever had your faith shaken? Where everything you believe all of a sudden is casting doubt in your mind. Have you ever prayed a prayer and prayed it in doubt? Not really believing God is going to even think about doing what you're asking Him to do. You just prayed it because you knew you should. Come on, is that just too honest? I've prayed that way. If you've been saved very long, bet you've prayed that way. Prayed a prayer and didn't even expect an answer. Just wanted to do your duty and say, "Well, I prayed about it." Amen. Then there's those days when I feel as a Christian that I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof and could leap tall buildings in a single bound. And after God does something great and miraculous in my life or in my sight that I can see and I can behold, I'm like, "Yes, I've got the faith that'll move a mountain right now." But that faith is, it's changeable, isn't it? Amen. Paul said he was bragging, joying, he said. He was getting a thrill out of their steadfastness in their faith in Christ Jesus. We ought to make sure that our faith in Christ is firm and is steadfast. Y'all okay? No matter what. Listen, junk is coming down the road. Trouble is headed to your house. Problems are coming. I mean, you better know it. I don't care who you are, how much money you got, how much money you don't got, how much education you have or don't have, which side of the railroad tracks you live on, you are apt and prone to trouble. Amen. Job said, man born a woman, few days, and full of trouble. That means you're going to get more than your fair share. Amen. Don't let it shake your faith. Just because I don't feel good doesn't mean God isn't still on His throne. Just because I don't have everything going just my way doesn't mean God isn't still on the throne. Just because my son was in a coma in that wreck didn't mean that God wasn't still in control. The devil was trying to destroy my faith in that situation, but God built my faith in that situation. You see, if we allow problems to decrease our faith, that is the opposite of what God is trying to do. Problems come in our life to increase our faith. Bibb and Ashley sang a song they hadn't sang in a long time, but the name of the song was Increase My Faith. Increase my faith. Help me climb this next mountain I got to climb. There's some of you lacking faith in here tonight. You've got less faith today than you did at another time. Something has come and caused you to cast doubt on your faith. You wouldn't say it out in the open. You'd raise your hand and say, I believe God can do anything. But inside you, something is bottled up in doubt. Amen. Don't let doubt destroy what you sowed up in faith. Y'all okay? We need to work on being steadfast in our faith. You ever just have to stop and tell yourself, He's still God? He's still God. Old Peg McCamey said, the God of the mountains, He's the God of the valleys. Amen. He ain't changed one bit. Just because my circumstance has changed doesn't mean that my God has changed. Just because I'm weak doesn't mean He's weak. Just because I'm down doesn't mean He's down. Amen. No matter how low I get, it doesn't change the highness of who He is. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. We ought to learn to be steadfast in our faith. You get to these older Christians like Brother Atkins and Brother Charles, Brother Samuel, these men who've been around for a long, 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 long time. You get around these guys and they're pretty much unshakable. You don't see them tore up too often. You don't see them frantic and fretting about every little thing. Like some of these younger couples that'll come in my office and their life's falling apart and they tell me why, and I'm like, that ain't nothing. Let me tell you a real problem. No, I don't do that. I'm just kidding. But in other words, they've been around long enough to see what God has already done. Why don't you stop when your faith is being attacked and look what God's done already. That ain't good English. Has already done behind you. Think about what God's done in the past. And if He did it back there and He did it for them, He'll do it again and He'll do it for you. Amen. We ought to be steadfast in our faith. There have been many, many days when your pastor's faith wasn't what it ought to be. Boy, y'all got quiet. I ain't no different than you. Just because this platform's elevated doesn't mean I'm above you. It's just so the people on the back row can see me. Y'all all right? Some preachers think because they're uplifted up above the people that they are above the people. I ain't above you. I walk around the body of flesh just like you do. I have problems and troubles and trials just like you do. I have doubts and fears and all that stuff just like you do. Amen. But if I'm to preach faith to you, I might ought to have some. Y'all all right? Let me say that again. If I'm to preach faith to you and how you ought to increase your faith and how you ought to be steadfast in it, I might ought to work on being steadfast in mine. How do I stay steadfast in my faith, preacher? With all this going on in the economy and blah, 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 and the health issues and the money and the, all these things, how in the world, preacher, do I keep my faith? Remember what God's done in the past. Look at somebody else that's going through what you're going through, that God's brought them through it, and say, hey, God, you did it for him. You said you is no respecter of persons. God, you did it for them. You helped them, help me. Amen. Look what God's already done. God's done so much in my life, how dare me doubt Him? How dare me doubt him? God's answered so many prayers already. I would be undeserving if he answered another one. I mean, I'm telling you, God's did some great and mighty things. And the more I see him do, the less I doubt him. But the devil still climbs on my back, as he does yours. Amen. We're to work on being steadfast in our faith. Go to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. I'm going to try to hurry, honestly, but I want to give you these right quick. That word steadfast, you ought to do your little word study sometime and go through your Bible and see how many times you find that word steadfast. I just picked out a few. Amen. I just picked out a few. I got to thinking about these people that I run into who used to be. And now you could really consider them, and I don't mean to sound this harsh, say this harshly, but they're just a has-been. You knock on doors all over this area. Well, we used to go to church. We used to serve God. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the one the preacher's preaching about. I don't want to be a sermon illustration. Come on, talk to me. So if I'm going to have some stick-to-itness about it, I'm going to have to learn to be steadfast, firmly fixed, headed in the right direction, unchangeable. Amen. Look at Acts chapter number 4. I said we needed to be steadfast in our faith. Look at verse number, I think it's 32, I'm not sure. Verse number 32, yes. The Bible said, and the multitude of them that believe were of what? One heart, and of what? One soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Listen, if we are going to be steadfast, we're going to have to be steadfast in our faith, and we're going to have to be steadfast in our fellowship. Amen. Amen. They were in one mind and one accord. They were on the same side. There wasn't isms and schisms and factions. I hate cliques. They just say it again, I can't stand a clique. I love my home church. I'll defend it. You run it in the ground, me and you'll have a problem. But when I grew up, there was two classes of people in my church. Amen. There was church people and bus people. Amen. It's true. Yeah. I don't mean they looked down their nose, but there was something that was different. It was different. I know because I was a bus kid. And I wound up living on both sides of that coin. Y'all getting quiet on me again. I don't like that. Just say it again. I don't like that. I don't think God likes that either. I stood in the hospital where Erica, our bus teen, was in the car accident. I was standing there talking with her and cutting up with her, and her mom was there. And her mom basically told me to preach to her. She said, there she is. She can't go nowhere. Get her. So I did. I let her have it for about 5 or 10 minutes about who she gets in the car with and all that kind of stuff, you know. And her mother was overwhelmed. I had been to the hospital. Alan had been to the hospital. Greg and Susan had been to the hospital. Brother Freddie had been to the hospital. Her mother was overwhelmed that so many people had come to see her daughter. I said, ma'am, that's her church. I said, we'll come and visit her just like we would one of the deacons. Y'all listening to me? Why? Because there's not this side and that side. There's not this class and this class. Hey, brother, it's got to be just like this. If we're going to be successful in the things of God, ain't nobody in this place lower on the totem pole than you. Hey, the one that joined last Sunday has just as much right and just as much privilege as the one that's been here 100 years. I'm telling you, we've got to be firm and steadfast in our fellowship. Do you know what's going to happen? If you stay here long enough, the devil's going to try to drive something between you and another. Amen. Amen. The devil is an instigator. You know what an instigator is? He's the mouthy kid on the playground that always wants to see a fight, but he don't want to be in one. Anybody remember anybody like that? So-and-so called you this. He called you that. What you going to do? I'd hit him if I was you. I always like to pop the instigator. Y'all okay? That's what the devil is. He's an instigator. He's an instigator. He'll come and he'll sit right down in your lap. He'll say, Brother Charles, he don't really care nothing about you. And he'll say it, and he'll say it, and he'll say it, and he'll say it till you believe it. You understand that?
Yep.
He'll whisper in your ear. What's he trying to do? Drive a wedge between two friends.
Yep.
He's trying to separate friends. Somebody will get busy and not shake your hand. You think I'm being ridiculous? I'm being honest. At my birthday party last year, there was a young man that hadn't been to church in a long time, and long story short, he was there. I saw him, hollered, hey, but I didn't shake his hand. His daddy was so distraught over it, he called and cussed Brother Freddie out. Brother Freddie said, you need to call this guy. He just cussed me out. I called him. He's nice as he could be to me. I said, bro, I'm sorry I didn't shake your brother's hand, your son's hand, or whatever the case was. But he got all bent out of shape over a handshake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This time of year, I'd rather not. Get out of church, run straight to the car and get that stuff. That smelled like kerosene, amen? What I'm saying is we need to be steadfast in our fellowship.
Amen.
You know what? If me and you have a problem, it doesn't mean I ain't your friend. You and Rusty ever had a problem?
No.
He is the problem, ain't he?
Yeah.
It doesn't make him not your husband. You ever have problems with these knothead kids? Okay. Spanky especially?
Yes.
Huh? Have problems with these kids? That doesn't make them not your kids. Y'all following me? If me and Brother Warren is one of my deacons, if we have a misunderstanding or a difference of opinion, God only knows. Opinions are like elbows and armpits. Everybody's got two and they both stink, amen? Just because we disagree on something doesn't mean we're not still friends.
Amen.
And he's not still my brother in Christ. But if we're not steadfast in our fellowship, the devil will use that to destroy not only us, but the whole church.
Amen.
I'm tired of hearing about churches fighting and fussing. Amen. Arguing over stupidity stuff.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, it got quiet. I don't know why. We need to be steadfast in our faith. Hey, if I'm your friend today, I want to be till Jesus comes.
Amen.
Amen. I'm all about longevity.
Amen.
I tell Brother Freddie all the time, I want us to grow old together. And believe it or not, I believe we're doing it. We are growing old together. What a blessing.
Amen.
Brother Charles had hardly no gray hair when I came here. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just serious. I mean, we're growing old together. He's doing it faster than I am, but we're growing old together. I like that. I like that. I want the people I'm in church with today, I want to be in church with them 20 years from now.
Amen.
But to do that, we're going to have to be steadfast in our fellowship. If we're not careful, we'll allow Satan to bust that up. Like he's busting up homes, like he's busting up relationships. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I believe the worst thing that the devil has ever threw at the Bible believing church. The worst thing. I'm gonna name it, and some of you ain't gonna like it. I believe it's Facebook.
Amen.
I know it's used for good, but it's also used for bad. Every time I say something about Facebook, I got to get this from somebody. I just use it to look at so-and-so's children and to keep up with the kids. And that's okay. But everybody don't do that. People use it to put people's dirty laundry out there and to cause division among the brethren. I was preaching, I won't even say what state I was in. I was preaching in another state, and if I said the man's name, every one of you would know who it was. Before I could get out of the pulpit, I'm still preaching. He gets a Facebook, whatever you call it. What do you call it? A post, a note on Facebook. Why? I'm still preaching. Brother Eddie's taking shots at you from the pulpit. He called the preacher that I was with the next morning. He didn't know we were together. He was on one treadmill and I was on an exercise bike. We were working out. He said, hello. He said, no. I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, no, I heard the whole sermon. He didn't say nothing about you. He said, he's right here. You want to talk to him? And I got the phone. I said, hello. And all I heard was, Brother Eddie, I'm sorry. I just heard. No, you didn't heard, buddy. You got on Facebook. Amen. Heard you was taking shots at me from the pulpit. I said, man, I ain't even thought about you. You wasn't even on my mind. Amen. Who'd you get that from? Turned out to be a 15-year-old girl. What you doing Facebooking with a 15-year-old girl? Y'all listening? While somebody's trying to preach, somebody's Facebooking. God have mercy on you. Amen. Amen. I catch it, I'll grab your phone, give it to Jason, let him stomp it in the floor. Because if I do it, you might whoop me, but you help yourself with him. Amen. And that's wicked, friend. You understand that? You know what that is? That's the devil using you to destroy the relationship of another or the fellowship of another. We ought to be steadfast in our faith. We ought to be steadfast in our fellowship. Amen. Acts chapter 2, just over a couple of pages. I'm almost done. Ain't y'all glad? Acts chapter number 2. Steadfastness, steadfastness, steadfastness. I want to be the same when I'm 70 as it was when I was 40.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want the news around the country. Did you hear? Brother Eddie's changed. I was preaching in Hamburg, New York last year. And a lady and her husband, evangelist, that I've known for years. The lady comes across the parking lot toward me, looks at me, and tears rolling down her face. She said, thank God it's a lie. Thank God it's a lie. I said, what are you talking about? She said, we heard you had grew your hair out and had an earring. I said, I just got it cut. Left my Harley at home. Amen. What in the world? People going to talk about you regardless. I'd rather you tell the lies than tell the truth, amen? If something's true, go tell Jesus about it. Acts chapter number 2, faithful, steadfast in our faith, steadfast in our fellowship. Number 3, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. The Bible said, and they continued what? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We ought to be steadfast in our doctrine tonight.
Amen.
Don't let nobody shake you. Don't let nobody shake you. Brother Greg said they made a visit yesterday and the lady said that she was saved and she grew up in a Baptist church, but she's been having some conversations with a Jehovah's Witness. You know what that is? She's not being steadfast in the doctrine. Somebody said, what do you believe, preacher? What this book says. This book doesn't say Jesus was a good man. This book says he's the Son of God. Mr. Mormon, this book doesn't say that Jesus is Lucifer's brother. It says he's the Son of God. We ought to be steadfast in our doctrine. I had a guy get a hold of me one day, and it never fails. You get these people. He's going to show me what all's wrong with my Bible. He said, would you give me 10 minutes? I said, take 10 years, bud. You didn't get me where I am, and you ain't going to move me from where I am. I'm steadfast in my book. I can't explain it like Brother Freddie can, but I know what I believe. I can hit at it pretty good. I just can't get as deep there as he can, but I'm steadfast in my Bible. That guy went on for about 10 minutes talking about how many mistakes there are, how many corrections needed to be done. And finally I said, "You done?" He said, "Sure." He said, "You got anything to say?" I said, "Nope." See, I ain't gonna argue with that nut. Why would anybody, Brother Atkins, if there's a mistake, I didn't say there was, I said if there's a mistake, why go around to God's little old children and try to cast doubt on His Word?
Amen.
How is that building up anybody's faith?
Yeah.
It's stupidity.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's somebody wanting you to think they're smarter than God. Steadfast in our doctrine. That's not my point. It's just in the verse. I got to use it. Steadfast in our doctrine.
Amen.
Wonder how steadfast you are. Could a Mormon shake you up? Shook up the greatest pastor in America. Joel Osteen. On CNN. Watched it with my own two eyes. When Mitt Romney was running for president the last time, they asked Joel Osteen, he said, "I know he's a Mormon, but do you consider him to be a good Christian?" He said, "Of course he is. He believes in Jesus." That's what he said. Yeah, he believes in Jesus. He believes Jesus is Satan's brother. Y'all okay? We ought to be a little more in our book than that. Amen. We ought to be a little bit better with our Bible than that. I had a fella who had been preaching, and I'm not belittling him. He's one of my heroes, and I love him. He's in heaven now. But I was just a kid preacher at White Oak. Hadn't been preaching in no time. And I used to coon hunt and raise coon dogs. And he came to me in church and put his arm around me. He was serious. He wasn't cutting up. He wasn't playing. He said, "Brother Eddie, you're going to have to get rid of them dogs." He said, "You're going to have to give them away." I said, "What?" I said, "I've got money tied up now. I ain't giving them dogs away." And he gave me a verse of Scripture, Brother Greg. It was in Deuteronomy, I believe, about the price of a dog entering your house. And I went home, man, I got my Bible, and I said, "Boy, it does say that, don't it?" And I got my concordance, and I finally figured out what it was talking about. It wasn't talking about a Bow Wow dog. It's talking about male prostitutes. Is that okay to say? And I thought, bless his heart, he just don't know the Bible no better than that. And that kind of thing is what got me digging and knowing the Word of God. It'd be all right. Bite your lip. Did I say something stupid? We ought to be steadfast in our doctrine. Get steadfast enough in your... What is doctrine? What is doctrine? Well, the virgin birth, that's doctrine. The bodily ascension, that's doctrine. The fact that hell is a literal burning fire, that's doctrine. Amen. Let's finish the verse. He said they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We ought to be steadfast in our prayer life. Do you ever not feel like praying? Come on. Do you ever, you just not really in the spirit of prayer? Sister Janice used to sing a song, "When you don't feel like praying, pray." When you don't feel like praying, pray. We ought to be steadfast in our prayer life. The devil, if you allow him, the greatest two tools that the Lord gave you are the two most neglected, your Bible and your prayer life. Y'all all right? I'm right about it, aren't I? The greatest two things, the most powerful two weapons in your arsenal is the Word of God and your ability to go boldly before the throne of grace and petition heaven. And if we're not careful, those are the two things the devil will rob us of. What are you saying? Pray anyway. Pray anyway. Some of you, several years ago, we hadn't done it again, but we have the pastor's prayer team around here. And you signed affidavits, certificates, promising that you'd pray for your preacher every day.
Amen.
You didn't promise me that. You promised the Lord that. Well, I was mad at you. Pray for me when you're mad at me. I pray for you when I'm mad at you. Amen. We ought to be steadfast in our prayer life. If our church's success depended on your prayer, how successful would we be? If the saving of sinners in this altar on Sunday depended on your prayer life. Ephesians chapter number 3. Almost done. I'll give you one more after this one. Ephesians chapter number 3. I said we ought to be steadfast in our faith, steadfast in our fellowship, steadfast in our prayer, steadfast in our doctrine. Look at Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 17. Verse number 17. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now the word steadfast is not in here, but we have the same meaning. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being, here's the steadfastness, rooted and grounded in love. In love. We ought to be steadfast in our love. Our love to God, our love for each other. I have a habit. When I'm talking to someone on the phone, I don't say, see you later, bye. I say, I love you, bye. And it's not just a phrase, I mean it. I tell my wife I love her every day, because I do. Y'all okay? Yeah. Has the devil tried to hinder that? Sure he has. Has he tried to hinder our love for each other? You better know he has. But boy, if we'll be steadfast. Listen, if I'm steadfast in my love for God, hey, when you don't love me, don't even start telling me you love him.
Right.
Don't even come off all this, oh, how I love Jesus. Because you're lying.
Yeah.
Right. All I got to do, some people are hard to love. Would you agree? Some people are just, they're difficult.
Yes, sir.
Hard to deal with.
Yes.
Difficult. Hard to love. Brother Atkins, your wife said that was you. Amen.
Yeah.
No, she didn't. Difficult. Hard to love. Are you listening? You know what? All I got to do is love him.
Right.
I don't have to try to love you.
Amen.
I don't have to put forth an effort to love you like I ought to love you. All I got to do is love him like I ought to love him. And loving you just comes natural.
Amen.
That makes sense. Your issue is not with me. Your issue is with him.
Amen.
We try to personalize everything. Maybe you ought to spiritualize this thing.
Amen.
Your issue is not with the brethren. It's him.
Amen.
You know, when you love God like you ought to love God, you can look over people's faults.
Right.
You can take stuff with a grain of salt. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have to work on that. And I'm your pastor. If the pastor has to work on his relationship with the Lord, surely you do.
Amen.
If Paul did, Romans chapter number 7, that's one of the greatest lessons for Christians ever written, buddy. Talking about that flesh and the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to be steadfast in our love. Storms are going to come. Storms are going to come.
Yeah.
We're going to face them. We're going to face some individually. We're going to face some together. We're in a financial storm right now. We ain't fixing to go under. I don't believe it. God's brought us this far. He'll take us on. Amen. Amen. We need to be steadfast, even in the storms. Not just when the house is packed and they're hanging out the balconies. We need to be steadfast when it's slack. When the offering's low, we need to be steadfast in our love for each other. Good times and the bad. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let me give you one more and we'll go. Y'all can go pay some bills. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter number 15. 2 Corinthians chapter number 15. Read a little bit of funeral scripture here. Huh? Is that 1 Corinthians? Yes, you're right. Don't go where I say. Go where you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse number 58. This is the end of the scripture we always read at the graveside. Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what?
Steadfast,
unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I said we ought to be steadfast in our faith. We ought to be steadfast in our fellowship and our prayer. We ought to be steadfast in love. Had another one I was going to use in Job about being steadfast in our boldness. The Bible said the righteous are as bold as a lion. But we ought to be steadfast, lastly, tonight in our service. We ought to be steadfast in our service. Always abounding, moving forward. Did you know I've thought about quitting? I don't mean just quitting the job, the ministry. I'm talking about quitting. Not lately. But you go through those periods. I've been preaching here 18 years, and the devil will crawl up on my shoulder and say, they've heard everything you know. They're not being fed. You ever had that? The devil say, you ought to just resign. That's not steadfastness.
Amen.
When the honeymoon's over, you'll get in a rut every now and then.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You may have heard most of my illustrations at least once, but we've grown together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We've got something that a new pastor in a new church don't have together. We have a relationship.
Amen.
We have a bond.
Right.
I'm saying there's going to be days when you feel like saying, I'm fed up with this, I'm throwing in the towel, I quit, I'm going somewhere else. Now listen, I don't believe in church hopping. I don't believe in it. But if I go away from the doctrine of this book right here, hit the road.
Yeah.
Or run me down the road.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
If I get sideways on this thing, but as long as we're preaching the truth of the Word of God, I don't care if you've heard it 100 times, don't quit.
Amen.
Don't quit. Hey, had a good day on the buses today. Brother Terry, you got an award. Hallelujah. Ain't worth the paper it's printed on. It's just an appreciation's all it is.
Amen.
But hey, there's going to be days when you ain't got an award.
Yeah.
There's going to be days when them kids are fighting on the bus and cussing and all manner of junk going on. And you will think, the devil will say, why are you doing this? You could be home watching the Falcons get beat.
Yeah.
Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Why don't you quit? Here, do this. Watch it. Stay with me now. I'm done. He'll do this. You need a break.
Yeah.
You need a break. That's like these dumb couples that come in my office. Let me say it again. Dumb couples that come in my office, we just need to separate for a while. You don't fix anything apart. I've had psychiatrists tell women, you just need to get away from him a while so you can clear your mind. No, that's her saying. That's the devil helping her to destroy your home. Now, if he's beating your brains out, yeah, get away. But separation's not the way to fix nothing.
Right,
I'm not going to get excited about the bus ministry if I ain't in it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get my zeal back about preaching if I'm not preaching.
Right.
Do you know what helps me enjoy preaching more than anything?
Yeah.
Preaching.
Yeah.
I can come in here with a fever.
Yeah.
Brother Robbie did it the other day at the rescue mission. He was telling me this morning when three people got saved, come in, old mucus running down your throat, feel like you're about to die. I don't want to preach. I didn't feel good this morning. I didn't feel good at all. I thought, no, I ought to just tag team Brother Charles and let somebody else. I don't feel. About 5 minutes into preaching.
Yeah.
Felt pretty good. Felt rough when it was over. But boy, while I was doing it, that was good. What I'm saying is just because you don't feel good, don't quit.
Yeah.
Just because you're tired. Everybody gets tired. How many of you has had the same job for any length of time? You ever got tired of it? Sure you do. Well, why don't you just quit? You need a break. Go in and try that with your boss. You know, I've been doing this a long time, and you know, I've been real faithful, and I'm just tired, and I just need a break. He's going to say, sure, take all the time you need, right? When you come back, he will introduce you to your replacement. But we do that with God all the time. It's because we're not steadfast. Sometimes God will move us. But wherever he puts us, be steadfast. Be steadfast. This is the last place God put me. He hadn't told me to go nowhere else. He hadn't told me to do nothing else. He's put me right here. So I'm going to stay right here. He tells me to do something different. I got a sneaky feeling he ain't going to do that. I got a sneaky feeling he's going to let me stay right here till it's time for me to my mind slipping. That may be next week. I walked in here the other night after church, and I told Brother Dwayne, I believe, or Brother Warren, somebody, I said, please do me a favor and lock the church up. I've locked my keys in my office. I said, I can't get back in my office till Tom comes back with next service with the key. And I laid my Bible right there on the Lord's Supper table, and I turned around, and my keys are laying on top of my Bible. I said, who put them there? Brother Freddie is sitting right there. I had my back to my Bible. I said, who put them there? He said, you're losing it. He said, you are losing it. I reckon I toted them keys right in here, thinking I locked them in my office. So y'all might ought to start looking. No. Let's stand our feet tonight. Steadfastness. Steadfastness. Lord, help us to be steadfast. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have our ushers come. Brother Tom, you men coming. You be coming this way. Brother Todd, you come to the piano if you would. And while they're taking up the offering, if you need the altar, I'll tell you who will help you to be steadfast. It's the Lord. He'll help you to keep on going when you don't feel like going. Sometimes I serve God out of duty. Have to, just because I'm supposed to. But if I'll keep serving God out of duty, it won't be long. The delight will come back. Amen? Amen. 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 Listen, what day are we doing the dinner? December the 18th, we're doing Christmas dinner for our bus children. I mean whole nine yards. I mean, they're doing a big time serving Christmas dinner to them. Listen, this may not seem like much to you, but it will to them. This will be a big deal to those kids. May even get some moms and dads. And so that'd be a blessing, boy. But we want to help them to buy the food, the turkeys or ham, whatever they're doing. Okay. Okay. Yeah, the church kids will be out there too. They'll be eating with them, and so that'll be a good day of fellowship for them. Amen. Y'all go ahead, men. If you need to write a check, write it to the church. Brother Tom will write one check to the children's or bus ministry.